Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a new day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. I am traveling and I'm a bit tired in getting on. So I'm trying to get on here. And I hope Sean is hearing me. Hi, Sean. Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Sean.
Hello.
Hello, Sean. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful. You know, I told you I was traveling this weekend. Can you hear me?
I can. I think we lost connection for a moment, but we're back on, so it's all good.
Okay, wonderful. So I just need to get our music up and running here. The time got away from me because I overslept, you know?
That's okay. Your body obviously needs a rest.
Huh?
Your body obviously needs some rest.
Yes, yes. So I'm just going to play the music and then we are going to get started, okay?
Brilliant. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Okay, so for those of you who have been listening And I apologize for the late start. And normally we're on at 7 p.m. on Sunday, but because Sean is in the UK, it's all good.
Hello?
Yes, yes. Are you hearing me, Sean?
I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you for a moment.
Okay. Were you hearing the music?
No.
Okay. All right. So you know what? I am just going to go ahead with our conversation and not to worry ourselves about the music. And I'll have one of the technicians connect me later on. So I want to go ahead and just welcome you, Sean. And I am trying. I am trying to get back into my studio here. So, Sean, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself. As I mentioned briefly, Sean is calling in from the UK, and Sean and I met about approximately a month ago, or a little over a month ago. We met in Mexico at an amazing event. She and her family was there, and I learned about the amazing work that Sean is doing with teenagers, and I think that this is such a timely conversation for my listeners to hear. And this is the reason why I introduce having Sean on here today to share about what she's doing. But before we go into that, I want you to take a few minutes, Sean, as many minutes as you choose to introduce yourself to my listeners, please.
Fantastic. Well, first of all, Daphne, I'd like to say thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be talking to you, and it's a pleasure to be here with your listeners. So I'm based in London in the UK, and as Daphne mentioned, we met at this incredible event called Awesomeness Fest, which is run by the company Mind Valley. And Daphne and I were chatting about the work that I did with teen yoga. I am a teen yoga teacher. Currently,
yeah, but,
I teach about...
Sean, before you go into that, I want you to tell them about your life before yoga. We want to build them up so that they can get the appetite to listen for your conversation.
Sure, of course. So, I was born in London, in the east end of London, in a place called Walthamstow. My parents are immigrants into this country. My parents are from Pakistan. And I was born and brought up in the east end of London in a poor family. Just as immigrants are, as they come over to the country, they're trying to build a better life. They come to a new country, a new environment to build a better life, and that's what my parents did.
Mm-hmm.
So I am one of five children. I'm the eldest daughter. I have three younger sisters and an elder brother. And we were brought up in quite a poverty-stricken environment. So times were hard. Times were very hard. My parents are Muslim. So I was brought up in quite a strict Muslim environment with a Pakistani culture. And we lived in a place that was not very affluent at all.
Mm.
However, there was always food on the table. My parents worked incredibly hard. And with that, being the eldest daughter, I come with a lot of responsibility. I learned to clean at a very young age and look after my younger siblings while my father was out working. And my mother, she worked, and although I didn't know at the time, but she suffered from a lot of depression. As a child, I was not aware of what was going on.
Right.
All I knew that I had responsibility to look after the family and do what I had to do because there were so many of us. And I also had an uncle who lived with us as well.
Yes.
You know, times were hard. So there were three adults in the house, five children. And times were hard. But you know, I look back on those experiences now and I think that taught me a lot.
And it helps to mold you in the woman that you have become today.
Absolutely. And at the time, I didn't like it. At the time, I wanted to be a free spirit. I wanted to have a child. But that was not possible because of the situation and the environment. The culture differences between my parents and the life that they led in the village back in Pakistan. They were trying to instill that culture here with the family and the Muslim religion. You know, some might say is quite closed and narrow-minded. So we were brought up in that kind of environment. So I felt that I couldn't be myself, but I was being quite controlled by the environment. But having said all that, even though I didn't like it at the time, I now look back and I just, you know, and I have a lot of respect and love for my parents. They did the best they could, and they did what they knew, and they were doing the best they could for us.
Exactly. That's right. You know, Sean, I am so excited that you took the time to share this because there are too many families now where you find out that the children go around blaming their parents for what has happened to them. And our parents, as you and I know so well, they did the best with what they have and what they knew how to do. And we ought to show gratitude for all those things.
That's absolutely right. They were uprooted from their families, from their environment, they knew, to come to another country and start a new life. And they were the lucky ones.
You know, Sean, I'm not cutting you off, but that story sounds so familiar to me because I'm from the West Indies, as you know, and many families do that. They go to England, they go to Canada, or they come to U.S. just to make a better life for their families.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what happened. It was 1960s, there was mass immigration into the UK from the West Indies, from India, from Pakistan. And the world economy thrives on immigrants. And there are waves of immigration. And currently in the UK, we have the Eastern Europeans, the Somalians. And it's that wave of immigration that are now, you know, providing the work. The world revolves around this migration of people from one country to another.
Exactly. You know, Sean, I listen to you and I detect such passion. And girl, we can do another show on that topic alone because I detect the passion that you have for that. But with that being said, I think that was such a rich introduction for my listeners, because we are going to transition into who you are now. And I want to point the listeners to go back and read your brief bio, because they'll see that although at an early age you looked after your siblings, you had to step up to the plate, and yet you became a professional. You held some powerful jobs throughout your lifetime. However, that did not prevent you from stepping out to support teens in a very special way. So We're not going to spend any time on your bio because it's there for people to go back and read, because I want us to spend the next hour on what you're doing now for teenagers and why this is so important. Okay?
Yeah. That's
Sean, you know, you had some amazing corporate positions, yet you saw something fitting that you need to step into this field of yoga for teenagers. I want the listeners to know that Sean is also a math. What, you teach math or English?
Math.
Yeah. She's also a math teacher in the UK school system. So I tell you, this is a busy lady with her handsome husband and her gorgeous Princess Sophie. I had the honor of meeting all three of them, and they're amazing, amazing people. So yoga for teens, let's talk about that and how that came about.
Yeah, so just moving briefly back to my education, I went to university in the UK and I studied mathematics and education. My desire as a child was always to be a teacher. And they say that the passions that we have as a child are our true passions. Because as a child, we are much more truly connected to our soul and our soul's desires. So whatever we feel that we want to do as a child, there are our two passions, whether it's dancing, singing, teaching. It tends to be very creative. So as a child, I always longed to be a teacher. So at university, I studied mathematics and education, and I qualified as a secondary school math teacher. Mm-hmm. But at the time when I was studying, I then decided that I wasn't going to go into teaching, that I was going to go into finance to become an accountant. And honestly, the reason why I decided to do that was because I just wanted to make money. That was my motivation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because teaching doesn't pay very well.
That's right.
So, you know, I was 20. You know, having come from the background of childhood that I had been through, I was even lucky to have been at university, really. To have a career, an education, because that wasn't always my parents' wishes. I mean, at one point, you know, we were talking about arranged marriages at a young age.
Yes.
I had to kind of put away and insist that I went to university. So I studied that, and then I decided at the end I would leave education, and I went into finance and had an incredible 20-year career that I wouldn't even have dreamed of from the background that I came from. Would not even have dreamed of somebody like me, a Muslim girl brought up in the East End of London, would ever have a career that I had. I mean, I didn't even know what that kind of career meant.
Wow.
But I just, with the flow, I went to job. And I always knew as a child there was something inside me that I just had to follow whatever calling I had inside me.
Yes.
And that's where each time I got promoted or moved to a different company, I literally could not believe my luck that I was working for, you know, Richard Branson at one point, or Disney, or the companies that I was working for.
But yeah, Virgin Mobile.
I actually worked for Virgin Megastores, Virgin Cinemas, and Disney, and a media company running television stations in Europe, and I had a fantastic career. And then my very last role was head of finance for Blockbuster in the UK.
Yes.
You know, earning a six-figure salary, managing a team of people, I managed to travel the world throughout my career. It's absolutely fantastic. But I got to a point towards the end of my career where things weren't quite right. And that was the university giving me those signs that I had to move on to do something differently. As Oprah would say, the whispers were there, but I was not listening to the whispers.
Isn't that something? We all go through that, don't we?
We do all go through that. That's right. Sometimes we learn the hard way. And I learned the hard way. The universe was telling me it's time to move on to something else. I wasn't listening. And then I got
because
very, very
we always
stressed.
Think we know more. Yeah.
You know more, or we think there's no way out, and then we get comfortable with this place of fear. We get comfortable with this place of self. I'm in this job. I'm earning good money. I'm doing it for my family. I can't possibly do anything different because what will happen if I don't earn this amount of money, or what will happen if I'm not in
exactly.
this position?
Isn't that amazing, Sean? Because we never stop to think that. We look at the birds, and God provides for them. The universe provides for them. They never go hungry. Yet we think that we are our main provider. Isn't that amazing?
It really is. Because we don't trust. We don't have that trust in God,
we don't trust.
The universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't trust. We always think that we know more. Yes. That is so true.
And that's the ego. Now, that's the ego.
Exactly.
It takes us to that place of fear where we think, oh, no, I'm not really enjoying this place, but I can't bear to think what is outside of this place, so I'll just sit here and be miserable and be stressed. Because I can't bring myself outside of this space. So I was in that space, and my health deteriorated. And I used to have this vision. I used to have this vision that I was a train on a train track approaching a tunnel, and the train would derail.
Wow.
That was a massive universe. You carry on doing what you're doing in your role of head of finance at Blockbuster, earning all this good money with a big ego in this position that you never ever thought you would ever be. If you carry on, that's what will happen. You're the train that will derail.
Derail.
And then one day, that's what happened. My health was at the bottom, and then I had to leave. I went through quite a low period in my life for a couple of years while I figured out what I needed to do and find myself. And during that time, I joined my local gym, because prior to that, I didn't do any exercise. I was too busy working all the hours, as people do, providing for their family. I joined the gym, I started exercising, and I went to my first yoga class. I barely knew what yoga was before then. You know, so six years ago, I took my first yoga class, and I came out of it and I felt amazing. I felt that the tension and stress had lifted
so
from my body.
Sean, if I hear you right, prior to 6 years ago, you were not practicing yoga at all?
Correct. I was not doing
any exercise. Wow, amazing. Amazing. You know, I wanted to hear you repeat that, because there are too many people who keep thinking it's too late, but it's never too late to do something new.
Absolutely. It's never too late. At the age of 42, I started exercising and doing yoga for the first time in my life.
Wow.
And I trained as a yoga teacher 4 years ago, so within a period of 4 years, my life has completely changed from something I knew, or barely knew what yoga was. It did not interest me in the least. And here's an interesting story. When I worked at Blockbuster, I used to have weekly meetings with my boss, who was a board finance director for Blockbuster. Every Monday morning, we would sit down, go through the priorities for the week, and I would talk about my to-do list.
Yes.
And particular Monday morning, I came in, I said, oh, how was your weekend? And he said, oh, I had a great weekend. I met a friend of mine who I don't see very often. But when I meet her, she's such an amazing lady. She is the happiest person I know.
Wow.
And I said, wow, what does she do? And he said, she earns £10,000 a year, and she is a yoga teacher.
Wow. What a testimony. Wow.
And I said, and that at that time, I wasn't practicing yoga, and I barely knew what yoga was at that point. And I said, oh, that's great. And then I said to him, well, do you practice yoga? And he said, I started to go to her class. It's really good. I recommend it. And that's kind of where the conversation is. But, you know, a week does not go by when I always think of that story. That was another sign from the universe.
Isn't that something? It's a message. It was an affirmation that you were supposed to follow through on that.
Exactly. And this is the thing about the universe. The universe, God, will guide us in the direction. Sometimes we don't even know what that direction is. It doesn't resonate with us. It doesn't mean anything to us. And at the time, it did not mean anything to me. Because I didn't see myself doing yoga at all. It just didn't mean anything to me at the time. But I look back now, those signs come, and they involve, and you look back and you think, oh, well, that's the reason I had that conversation. The reason why it sticks, that was the happiest person that he knew, and she didn't earn very much. But, you know, I just think if you're doing spiritual work, you can still be abundant.
Exactly. Wow, it's interesting because, you know, during the week I'll have to share a dream with you. I have, because I had a dream 2 weeks ago, and I've been saying, oh, I need somebody to decipher this dream. And I know it's a message, but I'll have to talk to you about that, because it's amazing how the universe sends us messages. And sometimes we just have to be still in order to get the clarification or the affirmation of that.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the ways that we can do that is to be still. So a yoga and a meditation practice is you know, vital in that sense. But there are other practices that your listeners and the teenagers can do to help them with their intuition. So one of the things I can do is to journal.
Yes. I am such an avid advocate for journaling. Yes.
And through the practice of journaling, especially journaling in the morning, which is called morning pages, you basically just download. So you've woken up, you can do your meditation in the morning. If I do, I wake up in the morning, and before I even open my eyes, I sit up in bed and I go through a meditation. That meditation can take half an hour, or it can take 5 minutes, depending on what I am doing. And then I start pages. And the morning pages is you can write anything that just comes to you. It doesn't have to make any sense whatsoever. And
you
encourage
What I observe, Sean, when I journal, I have so much more clarity, and it's like I'm emptying out, and then the creative juices start to flow again.
Absolutely. Perfect.
Amazing.
Amazing. Especially if you've had a dream and you're trying to figure out, well, I had a dream, but I can't figure out what the dream was telling me. If you journal whatever you can remember from your dream, there will be some insight there. The insight will come. It might not come as you're writing, but throughout the day, there will be more insight. And the more you talk about your dream with others, and I'm very fortunate, you know, my incredible yoga teacher is my mentor, so I have somebody I can talk to. But even if you don't have a mentor, if you just talk about your dream, you're open about it with others, again, the universe, God will give you the meaning of your dream through messages and signs.
Yes. You know, Sean, I think I mentioned to you about the breakfast program that I do at my school in Jamaica.
Yes.
And for many, many, many years, I was always dreaming about things that was in the garden at my old school, like a breadfruit tree, a grapefruit tree. And then when I went back and looked in my journal, I had all these things I was writing about, chicken and eggs and all kind of stuff. And then, so many years after that, and upon visiting the school, I realized that we had to start the breakfast feeding program. I am so in agreement with everything that you have said so far. Because for me, I know in my life, many times I don't get the clarifications right away. But as I go on, I jot them down in my journal, and I go back months or a couple of years later on and look, and I said, oh, my God, and such a date, I wrote this thing down there. And it's better to write it down, because if you have it in your head, you're not going to remember. Right?
No, and it's absolutely, and isn't it incredible how that happens? It's really quite freaky. You look back and there are things written and are completely manifested.
Yes.
Just like a small program, you manifest all of that because it's written down. The thing about writing things down is that there's powerful energy in the written word.
Mm-hmm.
There is energy in the written word. If you write things down, it has a powerful energy. It's more likely to manifest than if it's just in your head.
That's right.
That's why it is so important to write things down.
Sean, we only have 49 minutes remaining. It's amazing how time goes fast when you're having fun, right?
Absolutely.
For the parents who are listening to you right now, I think I need to have you back for a part two follow up, seeing that we had missed some times in the beginning. So, but we'll talk about that. I want for you to tell the parents, how do they begin with the teenagers? You started at age 42, and I think the teenagers are blessed to have you invest in this quality time in them. But how do parents start out with people who have never done it before?
Okay, well, first of all, the parents have to be open to understanding the benefits of yoga, but of any kind of mindfulness practice, whether that be meditation and so on. The thing is, in this crazy world that we live in, this world of 24 hours, 27 hours a day, technology, our completely bombarded. They have no time to be themselves. Under pressure from school, they're under pressure from their peers, they're under pressure to get jobs, and it's a really, really difficult time for them, not only because of the environment, but also because what is happening to them at a physiological level. So there are two times in their life, in our life, when the brain goes through major changes. The first age is from the age of 0 to 2, and we know what babies and young toddlers are like. Imagine how much they grow in those years. The second bit of time when teenagers' brains go through a major transition is at the age of between 10, 12, 14. Those adolescent years are critical. And at that time, there is something going on in the teenage brain that they can't fathom out themselves how to manage themselves, how to care for themselves, because their brain is going through this change. They can't coordinate. They don't know what to think or how to think. So on top of the external environment and the external factors that they are influenced by, they're also getting used to their bodies. They're going through puberty. They're going through all that change, exam pressure, and so on. It has a massive impact. So no wonder parents are tearing their hair out, saying, I can't manage my teen, my teens are going crazy, they're grumpy, they're moody.
And they start doing drugs and become promiscuous and, you know, drinking and all that kind of mess.
But all that, because you know what, another thing about teenagers is, give them some credit. Teenagers are great seekers.
Oh, I couldn't be a teenager in today's world. It's difficult to be a teenager. Difficult.
The thing is, the world is so competitive. And the thing with yoga is, yoga is not competitive. Based on the age of... And what I do is I create... that is non-competitive, non-judgmental. When they come into my yoga space, I want them to feel nurtured. I want them to feel cared for. I give them a secure space that they can be who they want to be, because that's really the only way they can really connect with their soul and find who they really are and be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So my, I have a warm, loving, open-hearted approach to them. And
mm-hmm.
they know that they, and so many people in society, you know, have a really negative attitude towards teenagers, think that they are just trouble. But actually, you know, they're just souls. Teenagers, just we're just soul to soul, human being to human being. They have opinions.
You know something, Sean? Last week I was telling somebody something about Sophia. I said, you know, I think I was the oldest person at the event, and Sophia was the youngest, and Sophia was 12. And they were appalled to hear that there was a 12-year-old at a business event. And I said, we shared a round table discussion during one of the lunches, and I said, her conversation was not like a 12-year-old. And I think we as adults need to spend more time listening to teenagers. We don't allow them to speak, you know?
Exactly. You know what? And just human being to human being, soul to soul.
Exactly.
And whatever your listener's faith and belief is,
mm-hmm.
Sophia is a very soul. So she's a very, very wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And teenagers can be like that, so we mustn't be judgmental just because of their age.
Exactly, so we can all learn from another person regardless of their ages.
Any mm-hmm. person regardless of their age standing in front of you is your teacher.
Exactly. You know, we can all learn from somebody else, you know. A lot of times people will look around and they say, oh, this person is not in a executive position, so you can't learn anything. But listen, everybody, I tell people, every day you go through your door, you're at school because you're in life school. Every day you step out through your door, you find something that you can learn from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The homeless man on the street is your teacher.
Exactly.
That homeless man on the street will teach you in that moment to be grateful.
You know, I was teaching a team building class once, and I told the attendees that everybody can learn something from a wino, and they look at me and they were kind of puzzled that I said that. I said, you notice the wino? They pull their money together, they buy a flask, and everybody take a sip, and they pass the flask around until the flask is empty. And I said, but yet you all working in these jobs, and you can't talk to the person in the cubicle next door to resolve a conflict. Something is wrong with that picture, you know? But when we see everybody as a teacher and we know we can learn from them, then we don't have all those struggles in life.
And that's right. And in order to do that, is you have to leave your ego behind you.
That's right.
Fix your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Do not judge. And the third thing is every person in front of you is your teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Sean, you started off with the students in school, right? The school that you teach the math, that's where you started off with the yoga for the teenagers?
No, actually, I started teaching privately first.
Okay.
So we started running my private classes, and my teenagers came to my private classes, and then I started teaching in school. One of the biggest challenges for me in my now career is to start teaching yoga in schools, because the schools have issues with funding. You know, how are they going to pay for a yoga teacher? It's not part of the school curriculum. when you're thinking
one thing,
all those issues. And yoga is still a relatively new practice here. People don't buy into it. They don't really appreciate the benefits of it. So it's a real struggle for me to try and get into school to teach yoga. But the reason I'm in this particular school, where I teach math.
Yeah, Sean, let me ask you a question. Does the school system in the UK do grant writing? They have people that does grant writing? Grant, G-R-A-N-T, writing. Do you know what that is?
No, I'm sorry, I don't know
what that is. It's a process. Grant writing is a process where somebody who is whose career is grant writing, they write these grants and they stipulate what your project is, and organization or people is interested have the funds that they give it to you, and you don't have to pay the money back.
Okay.
I can tell you more about that, or you can Google grant writing, or crowd, C-R-O-W-D, funding.
Yeah,
crowdfunding is maybe another way where you could raise the money that fund your yoga, and the school system won't have to do it. Because I'm looking into both those for the breakfast feeding program as well.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. I will do that.
Yeah, because this way, if you can get all that, then you can concentrate on a few schools, and you don't have to ask the government for any money, and yet the kids will still be getting it. But before long, when they realize that the children's learning has been enhanced, then they are going to support the program. Sometimes you have to work from the backside in. You know what I'm saying?
Her own yoga practice and meditation practice, so she's aware of the benefits. She's open to me teaching there, but that's not the case for the majority of people. So often we go into schools and I will run three paper classes. And they benefit. They say, it's great, thank you so much. We've had a great time. It's really benefited the children. But they say, well, really need to get some funding, and, you know, the funding doesn't come. And it's a real shame, because I know how much the teenagers have benefited, and the feedback I get is amazing.
Sean, I just need to ask you to pause a bit, because I'm having challenges with my chat room. So for those people who are probably trying to get into the chat room and to ask a question, it's not. So I do apologize for that. I'll see you the next time I have Sean in that the chat room would be working. So for that, I apologize. So let's continue, Sean. We have 36 minutes remaining. So what I would like you to do now, I want you to point out some of the specific advantages that the children have gained since they're practicing yoga.
Yes, absolutely. So in a yoga class, I run an hour yoga class, and we start off, so I've taught a little bit about the environment. So the environment is a nice, safe space for them. So when they come in, I'm different to a parent, I'm different to a teacher at school, I'm different to their friends. A yoga teacher holds a different space. A whole yoga teacher will hold a different space for his or her students. So they come in, we start with a breathing practice normally. And the breathing practice, I ask them to lie down on the mat, and it's really to get them to arrive in that space, to be in the present time. In the world of psychology, it's well known that 40% of our thoughts are made from the past. In the past, 40% of the thoughts are anxiety about what is going to happen in the future. And only 20% of the time based on what we're doing right now. And that's a tiny majority of time. So it's really important for us to be in the present moment, enjoying each present moment as much as we can. So you start with some breathing. They arrive on the mat, they settle down into the mat, and they concentrate on their breath. That's the first mindfulness. We spend our day not even realizing we're breathing because it happens automatically. And yet a few seconds, a minute, 60 seconds of conscious awareness of our breath can immediately change our emotions and change our mindset. That's what it takes, 60 seconds of something for our emotions. It slows down the breathing, it reduces the blood pressure, it calms the nerves. Seconds can seem like a long time to begin with, because sometimes we can't even see 5 seconds. So once they have settled down, they're in the present moment, then we start working on the physical benefits. So we'll go into the postures. So some children, some teens come to yoga because they want to be more flexible. They want to work on their core. But people will have different reasons of why they come to a yoga class. And there are, of course, there are benefits. So emotions are stored in the muscles in our body. So by doing some gentle stretching, what we are doing, we are releasing tension in the body. And we're releasing tension in the body. And we're strengthening the body and increasing the flexibility. And sometimes that is enough for the children, the teens. The fact is that they've stretched, their muscles are being looser and freer, that release their hamstrings, for example, they've stretched their spine, elongated the spine, and that's enough for them to have this physical benefit, and they feel better just purely because of that. However, yoga works at a much deeper level. Emotionally and mentally, they will feel better because of the environment they're in. Their body feels much freer, and that will then allow them to be able to think much freely. So a flexible body will lead to a flexible mind. They will feel much more open. So doing all my yoga classes, we do beautiful heart-opening postures. So quite often we see teens now hunched over, the shoulders are forward, the backs are rounded, they're carrying heavy bags on their back. And all that, what that is doing then is that they're closing their heart. Becoming quite intimate and close. And of course, we know that that can lead to becoming insular, leading to mental health problems and issues. Whereas if we have an open heart, we're able to communicate freely, we're able to express ourselves in the ways that we want to, that allows then the teens to be much more open, creative, happy through their teenage years. So emotions happen. And then if you want to take a level deeper, then we can think about the energetic body at a subtle level. When we talk about the energy in the body, the chakras, the word the chakras. So there are many energy centers in the body. There are seven main energy centers. And through the postures that we do, we can release the energy blocks that sit at the energy centers. So any emotions that we feel that we don't like, any hurt, any anger, any frustration, all those emotions, if they are not released, will sit as energy blocks within our body. And those energy blocks will manifest into pain and disease. So it starts in the joints, in the muscles. That's how disease spreads throughout the body. So by doing the physical action of yoga, by releasing that tension, the blocks are released, but also deeper level, the energy blocks are released in the chakras. So if a particular energy block, say, in the lower spine, in the lumbar spine, that might be related to the second chakra, the sacral chakra, which is to do with creativity and passion. So somebody who's probably feeling depression is feeling quite closed in that particular energy center, or their heart might be quite closed. So it depends on what you do at that level. As yoga teachers, we know and we appreciate that that's what's happening in a yoga practice, the fact that you need lots of things. And that's why by the end of it, after all this breathing exercises have taken place, the postures, the asanas, the sequences have been undertaken, we settle down into a relaxation. And all my students tell me the best part of the yoga practice is the relaxation. I give them 15 minutes relaxation 15 minutes relaxation is the best part of their week, they tell me, because that's the time they can really let go. Their bodies have opened up and they're able to receive the actual benefit of the relaxation. It's different to sleeping because it's a guided relaxation. We work through each part of the body, releasing the muscles. When the muscles want to be able to relax, muscles don't like to feel tense. You know, the body is such an intelligent system.
Yes.
The breath is an intelligent system in the body. The breath wants to move freely through the body, not just through our lungs, but through the muscles. Mm-hmm. And our muscles want to relax. So at the end of the 15-minute relaxation, that's when the body really, really benefits and the muscles benefit. And that's the part of the yoga where you really come back to being yourself. When you come out of that 15-minute relaxation, that's when they start. But I love that moment when they come out of the relaxation, they all look so calm and they look, but you know, have this feeling of wow, you know, I feel so great. And
so you
that's
can,
the beauty. Yeah.
You know, I can see too, Sean, where this would be extremely beneficial to someone who's going for an exam or any test that would bring on any tension, to know that they would have this resource to tap into.
Definitely. And my lesson planning for my yoga class is always centered around what is going on with them at school. So I know the periods in the year when they have their exam, and we will focus the yoga practice doing specific breathing exercises, specific yoga postures around those stressful times.
Mm-hmm.
And the real benefit of doing the kind of yoga that I teach, which is called Dru Yoga, D-R-U.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, what type of yoga you practice. So yours is Dru, D-R-U?
Yes, D-R-U.
Uh-huh. Okay. Explain to us what does that mean specifically.
So Dru is, it comes from an ancient Sanskrit word called Dhruva, which means your still point.
Still
and
point?
Still point.
Mm-hmm.
STILL, still point.
Okay. Yes, I got that.
Which is a point of yoga that you want to reach, that still point, that meditation. To state when you're in your yoga. And the type of yoga is described as a combination of Tai Chi and yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than being in a static posture, for example, I don't know, a warrior posture, where the arms are out and you're in the posture still, Dru yoga is sitting. So the movements are very flowing. So you go into the posture and then you flow, your arms are moving, the legs are moving constantly. And this is perfect for teenagers because if they are in a static posture, they're always thinking, what comes next? What am I supposed to be doing? They're not in the present moment.
Yes.
And the whole of yoga is to be in the present moment, to be aware of what the body is doing in this present moment, where the breath is, and feeling the benefit of that posture. So doing a flowing movement, they can really be in the present moment and noticing and feeling their body because it's moving. And that's the real benefit of Dru Yoga. It's really based around sequences of flowing movements.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many different styles of yoga. You know, there's hot yoga, there's ashtanga.
Yeah.
But there are so many, right? I happened to come across this training, which I really love, and I found it really beneficial. And it just so happens, you know, again, the message from the universe is perfect for teenagers. Because I've come across other teenagers who've been to other yoga classes, and they describe their style of yoga, and I didn't like it. And then they come to me, being a Dru yoga teacher, and they say, oh, this is fantastic, it's perfect. And I can understand completely why. It's because of the moving.
So when you started your yoga practice, did you start out with the Dru yoga or you started another type and then switched to Dru?
I started in a different style of yoga, in Hatha yoga, because I joined my local gym after I gave up work and I started going to class there. In my local gym, there are different yoga teachers. And, you know, the average age person, the average age of the person who was taking the yoga classes must have been 50, 55. So this is a sad thing.
So there's hope for me then, Sean. There's hope for me.
Listen, you can start yoga at any age.
Thank God. I'm grateful for that. Yes.
Absolutely. And this is a sad thing. You know, people wait till they retire or later on in their life, they think, oh, now's the time for me to take up yoga. And really, they've missed all those years of the benefits.
Exactly.
The tools and the techniques that these children are learning now are going to help them through their life. The fact
that
they can learn meditation at a young age, the fact that they can learn their breathing techniques. And, you know, one of the incredible people that I met at Awesomeness Fest was Anil Gupta. I don't know if you had a chance to meet with him.
Yeah, Anil and I are good friends. As a matter of fact, I met him last year in the Dominican Republic. That was my first Awesomeness Fest, yes. He's the happiness teacher.
That's right. And I love his quote. He had incredible... he posed a question, didn't he? And he said to us, what's the greatest gift that you can give your child?
Yes.
You know, people say love or acceptance or... You know, we trust them, whatever. And he said, no, the greatest gift you can give your child is to give them the tool for them to be able to handle any situation in their life.
That's right. Because we are not always going to be there, you know. And even when we are there, we can't resolve things for them. So we have to prepare them to handle things for themselves.
Precisely, and that's exactly what yoga does. Because really, if we feel confident in ourselves, if we have high self-esteem, if we know that actually the universe has my back, if they have some kind of faith, they know they can trust God, the universe, whatever their faith is, then that creates a real shift in energy in the body that they know that everything is going to be okay, and it gives them that mindset.
That's right. You know, there are some religions that practice confessions, that they go to confession, and I'm not being judgmental in any way, but that's something that I always think about, because I said, what happens in someone's life when they need an answer from the universe and they can't find themselves in a place to do a confession? How do they do that? I said, you ought to be equipped to tap into God, the universe, when you need to, wherever you are, without having to go to a special place and a special person, you know? And that's
absolutely
something that... For years, that thing bugs me a lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that space is in us. It's tapping into ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find that in our space. And this is what I teach my children. I say, if you're ever in a situation, all you need to is go to your heart. Focus on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
There is a safe, sure
That's
place.
Our authentic, pure place.
Pardon?
I said, that is our authentic, pure place. It never misleads us. It never misleads us, only when we disobey it.
Exactly. That's where our true soul resides, and that's where our answers are. That's where we connect with God, universe, our higher selves, whatever faith you have, even if it's not... You know, even if you have a humanist approach, you know, there's something about your heart, you. It's your core. It's the core of you.
Exactly. You know, and for every time I disobey my heart, I get in trouble, you know. If I pay attention to that, then I won't have to be in any trouble. But it is just so amazing. It's not rocket science, you know. If we obey our body, follow our heart, it leads us to the right place. But we always think we know better than our creator who creates us, you know?
Yes, that's right. And it's a skill to learn to listen to our heart, because it doesn't seem natural to go like that. We spend
that's
our life
right.
in our head.
Mm-hmm.
We spend our life in our heart. The
mm-hmm.
logical brain, as opposed to the creative brain. And that's
mm-hmm.
the beauty of yoga. We can do some breathing exercises, some pranayama, where it takes
mm-hmm.
us out of the logical brain into the creative brain. So
mm-hmm.
our breathing rhythm switches every 90 minutes, approximately. So
yes.
we can always see which side of our brain is activated at any one point. So breathing in through the left nostril activates
mm-hmm.
the right creative brain. Breathing
mm-hmm.
in through the right nostril activates the left logical brain. And quite often we are, because I am, based on my background of maths and so on, I'm naturally a very logical person, but I'm now beginning to change the way that I think and become more creative. So we all have a tendency either to be more creative, more right
mm-hmm.
brain, or be logical, more left brain. But through
mm-hmm.
the practice of yoga, we balance out so that we
yes.
balance out the creativity and the logic, and that gives us a balanced mind, which then enables us to think more clearly and objectively about things.
I think
if you sit in the left brain too long, it's not a good place to be, or to be
mm-hmm.
constantly left brain.
Mm-hmm. And as I listen to you, I can see why I think there has been an increase in the practice of yoga and meditation among business people. I would say, for the past 10 years, I started noticing more of that. Where entrepreneurs and small business people and even some corporate people are beginning to include those two practices in their daily lives.
Mm. Yes, definitely. And you know, and the main motivation for them doing it in the corporate world is because of stress reduction. It doesn't really matter what the motivation is. It really doesn't matter as long as they're doing it. But you know, every week there's some kind of exposure, or so-and-so practices yoga, so-and-so, you know, practices meditation. But I can guarantee you, any top entrepreneur, business person, any successful person will have some kind of practice that is either to do with meditation or yoga, where they connect to their intuition. I absolutely guarantee that.
I support that too. And you know what happened, Sean? Because it's becoming more popular now, people are speaking about it openly. Before
yes.
that, because we live in a judgmental society, it was kind of a taboo to speak about it, and people would keep it what I call hush-hush. They would do it, but they don't want anybody to know they're doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now that,
yes.
you know, the media is talking about it and everything, so people will say, I've been doing that for 20 years. I've been doing that for 25 years. And you say, what? I've known you for a long time. How come you never say anything about it?
Yeah, that's right. And this is what's really difficult for teenagers as well, because the teenagers, you know, they come under a lot of pressure from other people who don't get yoga, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they think that those yoga are a bit weird and, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's all that about? So, you know, it's a courage for those teenagers to come to class and say, I'm going to my yoga class, because
mm-hmm.
it's a minority that do it, not the majority. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's great for those that have taken it on board. And one of the main outcomes for me from Awesomeness Fest is I had this burst of inspiration when I came back the very next day, because before I went to Awesomeness Fest, I said that I wanted people to cross my path who are going
mm-hmm.
to help me catapult here forward and to expand team yoga.
Right.
And I think it was Sonia Chiquette's talk, the amazing Sonia Chiquette. She did a talk, and she talked about intuition, talks to us, and we have signs from the universe. And sometimes there's small signs, and sometimes they come at us like a big bang.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this, and when she said that, I said, I want a big bang moment. I want intuition to come to me like a big bang. And that big bang happened the day I came back from Awesomeness Fest. I had a big bang
moment. Beautiful.
When I was
beautiful.
And it was when I, you know, when these moments happen, I say when you're in the shower or when you're doing something that you're not even thinking about.
Right.
And it happened to me when I was washing my hair.
You never know when, you know. I was saying to somebody they need to make waterproof notepad because there's a lot of brilliant ideas that we get in the shower, you know. Sean, we have approximately 15 minutes remaining.
Okay.
If you have anything on your mind that you wanted to speak about that you did not, now is the time. And after that, I want you to just summarize and also give out your contact information, how people can reach you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so we'll do that. Thank you. So just carrying on from that story about what I'm doing now. So that inspiration that I had that came at me like a big bang was two words. Team. T-E-E-N. T-E-A-M. Because I'm launching this new business, and I was wondering how I'm going to expand this business. And this is, my brand is Team Yoga Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to me was that, you know, I could go out and look for somebody to help me with marketing. I could look for somebody to help with PR, my website. But actually what came to me is that I'm doing all this work with teenagers, trying to empower teenagers to believe in themselves. And yet they're going to be the next generation of entrepreneurs and business people.
That's right.
I need these teens to be my team.
Exactly. That is powerful.
It's so powerful. It's so empowering for them. So literally, 2 weeks after Awesomeness Fest, I got this ball rolling. I had my first team meeting with the teenagers. They came to my house for 3 hours. We had a team meeting. And they were so fired up, and because I have 20 years of business experience, and I said to them,
exactly.
I can teach you everything I know that's going to help you in your careers when you go forward, when you're business people, and you are learning from me, and you are helping grow this business and to spread the word about teen yoga because you are the target audience.
You're going to be having franchises.
I haven't thought that far ahead. Who knows the universe will bring?
I'm telling you, hey, from my mouth to God's ears, right?
Sorry?
Yes, I said from my mouth to God's ears. Yes. It's amazing.
Okay.
And, you know, when teenagers are fired up, ain't nothing stopping them, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So we've been back from Awesomeness for a month now, haven't we? So I've got somebody working on my website. You know, they've designed a logo. I've got a PR team of teens. I have a marketing team of teens. I have a website team of teens. You know, and they're all so fired up. And this is so exciting for me that my team is made up of purely teenagers.
Exactly, because they are the ones you are catering to. And they are the ones that's going to go out there and attract their peers.
Exactly. So with the brand, which is Team Yoga Tribe, I've got a meeting with my website team tomorrow. So we're going to get this website up and running so your listeners can come and connect with the website and find information about what we're doing. But this is all new.
Why don't you promise me that when it's ready, you'll come back on here to do the launch?
Oh, I'd love to. That's fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will do that. I will do that. That's great. That's great for the teenagers that they can get all this experience. They can learn all these skills, and I will mentor them and coach them through this. And it's something for them to put onto their university applications that they've gain real solid experience that's going to help them in their careers going forward.
So what we're going to do, Sean, for the launch, we want to have the key people who have put the system together.
Yes.
We want to have them on the show as well so they can speak about what that experience was for them.
Oh, fantastic. They would love that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. I'm getting excited about it.
Thank you.
I am getting very excited.
Oh, and you know, they're just so excited that their photographs will be on the website of the team, you know, their headshots with their bios.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. Wow, what a story. What a story. Wow.
But, you know, it makes perfect sense, and that's what came out for me from Awesomeness Fest. Yeah, that's what came out for me from within a month of Awesomeness Fest. This is what has happened to me. I mean, I'm so excited about what's going to happen in the next 6 months.
Exactly.
Or a year.
Exactly. Exactly. We just have to show up. You know, once you show up and you are obedient, things happen.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah. And it was such a transformational experience for me. You know, I would never have imagined. But this is what happens, like you said, Daphne. Mm-hmm. We show up open, and it's amazing the activities they do.
Be ready to receive. You know?
Yeah.
Don't dismiss anything. Just show up. Be ready to receive. Because you never know what you're going to receive. And it probably look as if, oh, I don't need this now. But who knows? We don't know what we need, but the universe knows what we need. And always turn up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to leave your listeners with maybe five practical things that they can take away to help their teenagers.
Yes,
So the first one is to really encourage their teenagers to start some kind of yoga practice. If there may not be children or teenage yoga teachers around them, but if they go onto a website called Drew Online, so DRU Online, they can look at online classes and do an exercise looking at from the computer. They can do it online.
Okay.
That's the first. The second thing is to have a daily gratitude practice. So we all know the benefits of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you know, spend my day saying thank you. My whole day is spent saying thank you. I'm driving in the car. I go through the traffic lights are green, I can drive through, I say thank you. If the traffic lights are red, I stop and I say thank you because I can stop and I can breathe. You know, I see a beautiful tree, thank you. I see a beautiful flower, I say thank you. Or if I see somebody walking past wearing a nice hat, I say thank you because it's made me feel happy. So if we spend that whole day in a space of gratitude, it really does raise our vibration, and it really gives us that positive mindset of appreciating, and in the law of attraction, then we attract the same. So gratitude is a... And just to tag on to that, actually, Safia, my daughter, who you met, so she has a newspaper round. She delivers magazines, and teenagers will have newspaper rounds or have some kind of job. And Safia said to me, oh, Mum, wouldn't it be great for every newspaper, because I go and help her because she has to deliver to something like 300 houses. So I go and help her. It takes us about an hour and a half to do that. And she said, wouldn't it be great? Every magazine that we post through the door, if we say something that we're grateful about.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful.
And I said, that's great. I said, Safia, so when I get my blog started, that's going to be the first blog that you can write on there that teenagers can, how they can express gratitude doing their normal day-to-day things like a newspaper round or a job.
Exactly. Whatever they do. Wow, amazing. I love that. I'll have to share that on one of my shows. Wow, I love that. I'll credit Safia. And we have 6 minutes remaining. What's number 3, 4, and 5?
So number 3 is journaling, which we've spoken about. So just open your book in the morning, just start writing. It doesn't have to make any sense whatsoever. It's
just a download
of the mind. The fourth thing is positive affirmations. So what the teens can do is they can buy some cards if they want to. Louise Hay has an amazing pack called I Can Do It. It's a beautiful pack of cards with positive affirmations on them. However, the teens can write their own. They can write any statement that they like. They can put it into a nice container or jar or something that they can make themselves. And every day throughout the day, they can pull out a piece of paper that has a positive affirmation on it and then just read it out. And again, it's just a couple of seconds, but it really changes your vibration, changes your energy, and it puts you in that positive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, to surround yourself with positive people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes teenagers feel pressure to be with their friends, even though they're friends, they feel pressure to be with them, even though they don't really like them, and maybe they've separated or gone their separate ways. But really, you need to be with people who are at a higher vibration than yourself, who are happy
exactly.
with yourself.
Exactly.
You're more successful yourself because you need to raise yourself up to that level. And if you don't do that, then you're going to get dragged down and be in a place you don't want to be.
I tell you, I just enjoyed this conversation, and we are going to have you back for the launch. And I myself, I am going to go on Drew Online so I can start get my practices up and running, because I need to include yoga into my life as well. Well, Sean, is there anything else you want to say? This was an enlightening conversation. I'm so honored that I have met you and your family, and I know this is really just the beginning of a lot of things for us. I just feel that the universe is going to have us doing things. So I'm excited about this, the forging of this relationship. And I am obedient to the universe for whatever it wants for us to do. And as always, I honor you. I love you. I honor Sophie and love her. I look forward to hearing about the great things that she is doing.
Well, that's incredible. You know, you really, you touched our lives when we met you at Awesomeness Fest, and I can just say, you know, I share the love, and I love you too, and I'm really grateful that you've given me this opportunity to speak about what I do. It's the first
Thank
time
you.
I've been interviewed, and yeah, I feel it's the start of my journey, and you know, you've pushed me already out of my comfort zone to have this conversation with you. But you know what? The whole experience is pushing us out of the comfort zone. And what we have to
That's
know
right.
is that the universe is there. It has
mm-hmm.
our back. And it's giving us these opportunities so
yes.
that we can grow. We have
I am
to
the mama. I'm the mama eagle, and I'm going to keep nudging you until you keep flying.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes.
Okay. Well, Sean, we'll come back with the launch, and then you'll be able to give out the website and everything like that. My sister, my friend, my colleague, I honor you for the amazing work that you're doing. And I know that the lives of teenagers around the world is going to be greatly touched because of this conversation we have had today.
Thank you, Duffy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm very grateful to you.
Yes, and give my love to Raja and Sophie, and I'll be talking with you soon, my sister.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Take care.
You are very welcome. That was my friend and sister, Sophia, out of the UK. And listen, you know my closing song is Destiny. And, you know, this lady, you listen, she have worked with some of the best companies in the world, and yet she turned up and accepted the call to touch the lives of teenagers around the world. And if you have teenagers, I hope that you will share this episode with them and help them to turn their lives around. 2015 is coming, and each and every one of us can excel, because that's what God wants us to do. So listen, as always, I want you to follow your destiny and stay true to your heart. This is Dynamic Daphne saying, have a fabulous rest of the day.
place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know what's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change.